we had the enemy come against us this week. I spent a day, about a couple of hours, just, I'm like, what do I do? It's just, you know how the enemy is. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, have I not got this? Oh, yeah, you do. So I dusted my little self off. I said, no, devil. I'm taking back what's mine. It's mine. I'm taking it back. You can't have it. You can't touch it. You can't get around it. Because I got the power of the Holy Ghost in me. And I have authority over every devil there is.
Yep.
I've got authority to do that. So today, we're going to 2 Peter. We're going to use a normal Bible. I'm just picking on Brother Jay. We're going to use a King James Version.
Hey, y'all. I've made a new creature. I'm American and I like standards.
That's right. I really enjoy the New American Standard. I'm just picking on Brother Jay. He knows I am. This is the top three of my favorite versions. So it's New King James, New American Standard, and the regular King James. I know the King James. That's what I've always been preaching out of. But New American Standard and New King James and King James are all in the top three of Bibles that are closest to the literal translation of the original Greek and Hebrew. So those three are the top. So if you stick with those three, now I like the trend. I like the Passion because it's really cool. And the Message is a little hip for me, but I still like it every once in a while. Now, the Message is a good Bible. So I'm just picking on Brother Jay just a little bit, but we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 12. And we're going to do some expository preaching. We're going to stay in Peter. I will reference some other verses, but wherefore? Don't you like that? Because what's coming, what was before? I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and already are established or being established in the present truth. Go ahead, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet or important. As long as I am in this tabernacle or body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off, Peter saying, I'm fixing to die. He said, I'm going to shortly put off this body. I'm fixing to be, he knew his death was imminent when he wrote Peter. He said, but I'm knowing this, I'm going to put off my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Let's go to verse 15, and I'm going to stop there. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, he's telling everybody he's going to die, to have these things always in remembrance. What things? So I was doing my year Bible reading. I started January 1st. Some people started with us on Radical Love Ministries, our social media page. We're on Instagram and Facebook now. So, we're getting big time. So we started the Bible reading. And I've read the entire New Testament already since January. So I'm into Genesis now. But I hit 2 Peter, I don't know, a month ago probably. A little less than a month ago. And I couldn't get out of 2 Peter chapter 1. I read all the others and kept going. I didn't want to get behind in my daily reading, but I'd go back to 2 Peter every time. And I still can't get out of it. As Jay said, I'm grazing there until I get full. But then I seen these verses that really stepped out was verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. Where Peter is telling them, he said, you already know, let's go back to verse 12. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent. So if I don't preach this gospel, that's what Peter's saying. If I don't show you what you need to know, I'm negligent. So if we don't show the world what they need to know before this time is over, we're negligent. I don't like being negligent in anything. He said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Wow. He said, I'm going to tell you something you already know. He said, I'm going to bring things to your remembrance that you already know. Why? Because we don't need to forget them. So Peter is telling us here, I'm going to bring it to your remembrance. Then he tells us again in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Always. So we have to make sure we're keeping the Word of God first and foremost in front of us. Not the television. I know I just kicked you right square in the teeth, most of us, including myself. So I've determined to do more Bible reading than I do watching television. That's why I've read the entire New Testament in so many days. And that's why I'm going to finish I'm going to finish my reading way early so I can do it again before the year's up. I want to do it twice this year, at least. Why? Not to say that I've done it, because it didn't matter. That I can put things into remembrance. So I can keep the Word before me. That I can keep it in front of me. This is the Word of God. See, we take this Bible way too lightly. We take it way too lightly. This is the Word of God. This is God-breathed, God-inspired, and God spoke to men of renown to show us these things. This is not written to the lost. It is not. And I get so tired of the church saying, well, you just need to read the Bible. Like, the lost don't understand it.
Right.
It's good for them to read it. Don't get me wrong. I want the lost to read the Bible.
Yeah.
I do want them to. Because they'll glean something out of it. And the Holy Spirit will speak to them through it. Because it's God-breathed, God-inspired. But this is written for the church. This is for us to know what to do. To know how to do it, when to do it, and to trust God when He says it. So we're going to back up to verse 1. We're going to go from 1 to, well, until we get done. And I have 2 hours left. So, now it may take, I mean, this may be a partial sermon tonight. Because I may not get done. Simon Peter, a servant. This is Simon Peter writing this. A servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained. Have you obtained like and precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ? Have you obtained that? Is it yours? Is righteousness yours? Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Because I have been made right, correct? So Peter said, wherefore, in verse 12. So everything he's talking about in the entire book of 2 Peter, he wants them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt who they are. So there's three things that the Holy Spirit said that we need to know. We need to know the fullness of the gospel. Right? That includes the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. Too many Christians are ashamed to tell other people, I go to a tongue-talking church. Not me. No, you, really? You go to one of those? Dadgum right, I do. Yes, sir. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. So the second thing we need to know, that we need to have the knowledge of the Word. We need to know what it says. You cannot give an answer if you don't know the answer. I know that is so deep right there. Right? If I don't know it, I can't tell it. That's deep and very transcendent. No, I'm just kidding. But it is. We need to know it. Right? And the third thing we need to know is the power of the Holy Ghost. Who we really are. What we really have. in Christ Jesus through the knowledge of Him as Savior all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's very important. Now, I could teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's still on our podcast if anybody needs to listen to it again, because I taught it from Scripture, every Scripture, from the old to the new, has been taught. And I'm going to be doing it again on the podcast. Not the podcast, but my YouTube channel. So, we're going to be doing that. So, we need to obtain like and precious faith to us were through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? If you want to know about righteousness, go to Romans and read the book of Romans. Right? I mean, Romans chapter 5 is the perfect telling you about your righteousness. Okay, pause just for a second. I got a question, a Bible question for you. What is the most important number? Anybody not understand numbers in the Bible? What's the most important number in the Bible? Anybody know? Somebody's been drinking. Now that one, I don't think I'll get that one. Yeah, please, if you don't mind. Hey, we got one down here. I wouldn't mind drinking after pastor. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. I was in the army. It doesn't matter. I ate bugs. For real. We put pepper on things so you wouldn't know you was eating gnats. It's disgusting, I know, but it's true. Anybody? Give me one. Okay, one, I don't know. Seven is the number of completeness. Three is the number of the Trinity. Six is the number of man, right? Five is grace. 40 is God's perfect timing. Nope. Not even 12. Got good answers. They're all important. Zero. Zero. Romans 8 tells us there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing is nothing. See, when we start understanding our righteousness, we need to understand that nothing, no thing can separate me from God. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. No thing. So when we understanding who we are, we got to understand there's nothing that can separate you from God. Right? Nothing. Now you can walk away on your own, but that would be just sheer craziness. So we've obtained a like precious faith as the same ones Peter was talking to. Then he tells us that we have obtained righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Then he says, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How do you get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and of Jesus our Lord, is what it says there. How do you get knowledge? Through the Word. So grace and peace multiplied. Grace comes by Jesus, right? You are saved by what? Through faith. It's the both. You can't put one separate from the other. Grace is what saved us. Grace, Jesus is grace. But we had to put faith in that grace. Amen? For by faith, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. So who are we? We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now that's Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. So grace and peace have been multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. So how do we get knowledge? How do you get knowledge about grace and peace? Meditate on this. Study this. Study this. Study this. You don't have to read chapter after chapter after chapter. You just got to get in the Word. If you want to take a word, study it out. So grace and peace will be multiplied to us through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, right? Through the knowledge of God and through Jesus. According to His divine power. hath given us unto has given unto us all things. So that divine power has given us unto all things that pertain to life and godliness. So how in the world are we going to walk in the power of God without the Holy Spirit? You can't. You can walk in the salvation, but you can't walk in the power. You can't. I think Papa Hagen said it best. He said, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes within and creates a new heart, makes you a new man. But when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are, it comes upon you to equip you for work, right? That's what he said. That's what the Word teaches, actually. And I'm not going to take time to teach it out tonight. So according to his divine power that he has given us, unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Oh, wait a minute. So it has to be godliness? I think the church has missed that somewhere down the line. Yeah. Without holiness, no man shall see God, the Bible says. I mean, I can't take that verse out of the Bible. Everybody says, oh, you're covered by grace. Yes, you are. But if you don't have holiness, if you're not striving to get there, Paul said he was striving to reach perfection. Perfection is not being perfect, right? You can't reach perfection. He said he strived to it, he just couldn't obtain it. So we can't obtain perfection, but we can strive to get there. We can work hard. We can be as holy as we can be, not on our own self, but through the power of God. Do you have to sin? Somebody tell me yes or no. No. You don't have to, right? We can choose not to sin. Sin is a choice that we make. Temptation is not sin. Now, if temptation comes in, the Bible puts it this way, and it's talking about lust of the flesh. It says, when lust is conceived, it becomes sin. You're tempted to do those things. And it could be anything, to steal a dollar from somebody or whatever. So we don't have to sin. So we need to be into the life is multiplied to us. It is given to us by the divine power that brings us into life and godliness. The divine power. Through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Anybody know what virtue is? I actually looked it up. The original Greek is moral goodness. How do we know what's morally good? Anybody know? It's not a bad question. There's so many ways to know. One is ingrained in us, to know moral goodness. God put it in us. Even atheists know it's wrong to murder, most of them. That's one of my arguments I use against atheists. So is it okay to murder? Well, they go, no. I said, well, how do you know that? How do you know it's okay, not okay to murder? Well, it's just not. That's wrong. How do you know it's wrong? Because there's a morality that is ingrained in us. And it had to be put there by a creator, a designer, somebody that ingrained it into us, knowing it is wrong. But the law tells us, too, the Ten Commandments, not the other law, not the 613, where you can't cut the corner of your beard and things like that. Not that. I'm talking about the moral law that is ingrained on us. Right. The moral law wasn't done away with. Right. Right. The Old Testament was done away with, except the moral law, the Ten Commandments, was not done away with. Jesus rolled it all up into two, though. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That covers all ten. Because you can't have any other gods before me, right? If you love him, you'll never put none. So anyway, that's just a little quick teaching on morality. So we know what's right and wrong. It's ingrained to us. Now, Millie Kate is 11 months old, right? Walking all over the place, getting into everything, picking up paper, putting it in her mouth, and you can go, Millie, no. And she knows she's doing something wrong at 11 months. Because she will turn and run. So you won't get that. That kid loves paper chewing it. I don't know why. If she'll find paper and she'll chew it no matter what. I don't know. I'm telling you, she is a mess when it comes to. So it's ingrained in her. She knows it's wrong. That she shouldn't. If we say no, don't do that. Now, part of it is teaching, right? But morality is ingrained in people. They know it's wrong. They know it's wrong to lie. I won't ever forget when I was real young, I stole a boat out of somebody's yard. A little tiny boat. Not a big boat, Jay. No. Little tiny. I wanted a boat to float in the ditch. Now, I'm telling my age, we used to play in ditches when I was growing up. Especially if they had water in them, we'd float boats and everything else. And well, we loved it when it rained, so we could put those sticks in there and have races, you know. So now they got computers and Fortnite and everything else. But I knew it was wrong. I didn't go to church. My parents didn't really teach me great. I mean, they weren't the best parents in the world. I mean, I loved them, but they didn't take me to church. They knew right and wrong, but I knew it was wrong. Why? Because it was ingrained into me. And I hid it for a while, and I finally took it back. Right? So I knew it was wrong. So morality. So we need to know. We need to know the knowledge of Him. Wherefore, verse 4, are whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Have you thought about the precious promises lately? We got to know the fullness of the gospel, right? We got to know the knowledge of the word, right? And we got to know the power of the Holy Ghost. Those are three things you need to get through us, or through our heads tonight. My head and my heart is know who I am in Christ. See, Peter said that it would establish you in verse 12. It would establish you. He said, I got to stir you up. That's what he said. So tonight's about stirring ourselves up. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, says Paul was telling Timothy he needed to stir the gift up that was given to him by the laying on of hands. Right? That's what he said. He needed to stir that gift up. Then you go to Jude chapter 1. There's no chapter. Jude verse 20. Sorry, that was a... from this morning joke. Anyway, Jude 20 says we need to what? Build ourselves up on our most holy faith. What's another word for build? What do you think? Maybe stir? Stir? Stir it up. Stir that gift up. Paul told Timothy to stir the gift up that was given to him by the laying on the hands. Peter said, I'm going to make sure I stir you up because I'm fixing to leave. I'm going to be hung upside down on a cross and die for my Savior. And sound like he was excited about it. Because he was ready to go. Ready to go. He said, I got to stir you up. So we need to be stirred up, amen? So we can take back what's been stole from us. That song, I mean, did y'all like that song?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I've been listening to it for a while, too, because I'm taking back what's mine. So I got to stir myself up. If I'm going to go against the enemy, I got to stir up. See, I had to go to a house and pray over a house that a demon was manifesting in. You know, I mean, I wasn't even nervous. Now, first time I cast a demon out, I was a little nervous. I was. I ain't gonna lie about it. You know, your first rodeo, you get a little scared. First time on a horse, were you a little nervous? Yeah. Now you can break them, right, David Herbert? You can break them and not. You still get scared? No. Why? Because you've done it before. Same way with the Word of God. The Word of God gets ingrained in you. You can just go, "Hey, I'm gonna stir myself up." Hey, God, you said in your Word that I have rights. As a child of yours, that I am now a child of the King. See, we got to stir ourselves up. We got to get built back up. This world is not going to be easy in the next year. This is the facts. I'm telling you, I've seen some things that's coming, and it's not going to be pretty. I hadn't told anybody. I've shared this with a couple of people, and I've heard other prophets talk about it too, and I just had a dream about it. About 6 months ago, I saw an earthquake in California. I mean, it was a dream. I don't know if I was awake or asleep. It was one of those. It was so intense. And when I came out of it, I was literally shaking. It was so intense. I saw buildings falling. I saw the Hollywood sign shaking. I was there watching people screaming and dying. So I started praying against that. So, I mean, publicly I'm sharing this now. I've shared it privately with others. But I'm telling you, there's some things coming. There's some shaking that's not over. It's not over. Now, we're in Goshen. The church is in Goshen, but you got to be the church. You can't just go willy-nilly about our lives not being stirred up. We cannot be lax about this. We cannot back up, back down. We got to press in, press up, and press over into some things so God will... Stay with, well, I don't even like the way I worded that. Mm-mm. No, God's with us always. So that I'm with Him. God never leaves me. His presence never leaves me. It's all about what I'm doing. He's faithful. God's faithful. It's all about how I'm pressing in, where I'm at. Whether or not I allow things in my house, whether or not I allow things in my life, whether or not I allow something is all me. So I got to stay stirred up. I got to stay stirred up. I got to stay on fire for God. This is not the time to slack up. We better not slack up none. I think that's why God gave me this sermon. So we know that we have got to teach and preach the knowledge of this gospel, of this truth, to the people of that is lost, to the people that are Christians that don't have a clue about the power of God. There are so many Christians that are in this world that have no clue. They have no clue what's coming. They have no clue how bad it's going to get. But it's not going to get to the church. Because God said He's going to take care of us. He's taking care of us. We're going to be just like the land of Goshen. 10,000 may fall at my right. 10 might fall at my left. 1,000 are on my right and 10,000 at my left. But it will not come nigh my dwelling. We don't know how close we came to the other day to having a Chernobyl in America. Most of y'all probably don't even know it. The fires in Texas was headed straight for a nuclear plant. Straight for it. If it had got there, we could have had a Chernobyl easy. But God, the people started praying. The church started praying. And guess what happened? A snowstorm put it out. A snowstorm in Texas Panhandle at the beginning of March put the fire out. When the enemy came in with a fire, God came in with ice. Why? Because the church prayed. See, if we don't stir up these giftings, if we don't stir up what we got, if we don't stir up who we are, there's some things that could happen to us too. I mean, the enemy's going to come in. And I love the verse in Isaiah 50, what is it? Is it 57, I think, maybe? It says, when an enemy comes in like a flood, the comma's in the wrong place. When it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, like a flood, my God's coming in like a flood to raise up a standard against him. Why? Because he loves us. Because we're his children. Verse 4, wherefore we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm not going to get done tonight. that by these you might be partakers, that you might be what? Partakers of His, of the divine nature, having escaped, there we go, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Unless you stir it up, you're not going to escape it. It's going to come in like a flood against you instead of God coming in like a flood and stopping it. Wherefore, we are given great and precious promises. God has promised it. That these might be partakers. See, He said, wherefore, that means you got to go back to what's going on. This is what He was talking about. Verse 5. And besides this, and besides the grace and stuff that we have, giving all diligence. See, here's the key. There has to be diligence on our part. There has to be diligence. You cannot let up. Too many of the church let up in 2020 when COVID hit. Too many, and they ain't started back. Too many let up. I have to admit, I kind of backed off just a little, not too much. Just, I'm like, I don't know what to do. We don't, you know, how we go, you know. Then the Holy Spirit came in and said, no. Am I not greater than anything? Is my name not above everything? See, I'm not going to admit, it was a little scary when I got COVID the first time. But I'm like, no, God, I'm not going to be scared because God hadn't given me a spirit of fear. See, if we go to Timothy and he tells him to stir up the gifts of God, right, that was laid on. Did you know the very next verse, verse 7, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says this, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power. So he said, stir yourself up because God has not given you a spirit of fear. But what God has given you is a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So we can understand and know what to do when we need to do it. And if God tells you to prepare, you prepare. If God tells you to hold off, you hold off. You do what Holy Spirit says in the moment He tells you to do it. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't. If somebody, God gives you a word, you do it now. If somebody says, pray for me, you do it now. If you know you got to pray for somebody, you go do it now. Don't wait. Because if you wait, something bad can happen. Don't give up. So God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So He said, and beside all this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What did I say virtue was a while ago? Moral goodness, right? Go ahead into the next verse. And into knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. See, we got to add all these things to us. Go to the next one. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. What did God say was the best gift of all? Love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is the best. Because in chapter 12, He tells us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Tongues, interpretation, so forth, all the giftings. But He said, yet I show unto you a more excellent way at the last of the verse, or last of the chapter. And then He says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. The Message Bible, I love the Message Bible in that chapter. I think it's verse 3. It says, I'm bankrupt without love. I'm bankrupt. It means I can't do anything. I have nothing to give. So if you don't have love, you can't give anything to anybody. Right? If I don't love you, I would not get up here and do this. Right? I'm not getting paid to do it. I preach at work. I don't get paid to do it. Why would I do that? Why would I start a YouTube channel, spend all the money that I spent buying cameras and getting my laptop going and everything that I got to do? Why would I do that if I didn't love people? I wouldn't. See, we got to understand. The love is the key to make all this work. Why would we do it aside from love? So I have to check my love walk every once in a while. Amen. Because it says you got to add those things. What is that what He said? He said add these things on top of faith. And the last thing He said add on top of faith is love. So I got to have faith and everything else that goes along with it, but I got to add love to the top of it. Because if I love, I'll do things. If I don't love, I'm just going to sit on my backside and do nothing and enjoy my life, get fat and sassy. Amen? I'm already fat, so I just get sassier. I'm trying to do away with that too. See, if I don't love, I'm nothing. I have nothing to give if I don't love you. I have nothing to give if I don't love the person I don't even know. Why would I witness to somebody? Why would I even attempt to witness to somebody if I don't love them? But you don't know them. No, but I have the love of God that shed abroad in my heart, right? Why would I witness to that, try to witness to the guy at Aldi that had the demon in him? Why would I do that? If I didn't want somebody to be saved and know that they need Jesus. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't love them. So I got to stir those things up in me. Sometimes I don't love people like I should. Y'all ever have that problem? There's some people I don't like. Amen? But I don't want them people to go to hell either. So I got to stir it up. I got to stir that love up. God, give me your heart. See, that's when I started praying. I've stopped praying a lot of junk. And I started praying, God, give me your heart. And your heart will show me what to do. I prayed it on the way over here. I prayed it on the way home from work. I prayed it on the way to work. God, I'm going to the people that need you. Show me your heart. Who do I need to pray for today? Who needs healing? Who needs deliverance? Who needs whatever at work? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care if I get fired. Why? Because they need it. Because they're not, God, that place is not my source. So, go to the next verse, please, sir. For if these things be in you and abound, they can't just be in you, right? They have to abound in you. Because if all those things don't abound, then you're not going to do anything with your life. See, it has to be more than just there. How many like to get home from work? I know some of y'all are retired and y'all cannot answer this question. I won't call your names. But I know several that's retired. And when I get home at 6 o'clock, there's a lot of times I just want to kick my feet up and do nothing. Y'all ever want to do that? And every once in a while I do that. I do. Put a little TV on and just be stupid for a little bit, you know. But what does that get me? Honestly, nothing. Then I hear people like Rick Renner talking about getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and studying. He said he don't eat until he reads the Word. And then he goes to the studio and films all day. And then he gets home and does more for God. And then he goes to bed. Then he gets up and does it all over. What could be more rewarding than getting up, doing everything your whole day for God, and just put the whole world behind you except loving people? For these things be in you and abound. These things are good, have got to be in you and abound. They what? They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. What did that just say? If you abound in these things, they will make you not unfruitful. They will make you fruitful. Yes. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is deep, y'all. Now you know why I couldn't get out of 2 Peter. Have y'all read 2 Peter chapter 1 in a while? Now you're going to go back and read it now, because this is some deep stuff. Because Peter is headed to the end of life on this earth. And he said, I've got to stir you up. We may not be headed toward the end of life, but we are rapidly headed to the rapture. And there are going to be people that are not raptured out of here that's going to die on this planet and going to burn. And that ought to break us if you have the heart of God. See, it says that it will make you, if these things abound in you, what? faith, love, virtue, godliness, all these things, if they are in you and abound, it will make you fruitful. You can't outrun God's blessing if you do those things. Jay talked about it this morning. Sowing, reaping. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't like what you're getting, change what you're giving. Because that's just facts. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Jay brought it out wonderfully this morning. There is a seed time and there is a harvest. And if you don't like your harvest, change what you're planting. If you're planting something that's not good, you're going to reap stuff that's not good. That's the judgment side of God. That's not the loving side of God. That's the judgment side. It has to happen. There's judgment on seed. It's a harvest. There's a harvest. If I sow bad seed, I'm getting bad plants. I'm going to get thorns and thistles. That's hard to say. All the T's there. The thistles. So it will make you. So let's go to verse 9, please. But he that lacketh these things. What? Now, wait a minute. Now, he just told us, if we have those things in abound, we're going to be fruitful. But if you lack these things. Now, I'm not trying to hurt you. I am trying to help you right now. This may hurt just a little, but it's going to help you in the long run. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. See, you can't, if you don't have these things, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, that's pretty deep. See, but he says, if you lack these things, you're blind. And you know why you're blind? Because you can't see anything but me. Right? It's woe is me. I don't feel good today. My back's hurting. My toes hurting. My thrombosis is acting up. You know, that's where you get to when you're not abounding in those things. I'm serious. I know it's funny, but it's facts. Because you start worrying about me and not worrying about what God wants. So we let flesh overrule the spirit. Because he said, he that lacks these things are blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten what he was, that he was purged from his old sins. Because you go right back into what you were. You're not lost. You just forget what God done. And you forget what God wants you to do. Go ahead, verse 10. I'm trying to get down to 11 so before we go home. And I'm going to try to hurry. It's 7. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence. Right? To make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never, never, never fall. Boy, isn't that good?
Yep.
If we make it sure, if we do those things, he said from verse 1 to verse 10, he said, you'll never fall. I don't have to fall. I'm in the keeping power of God.
Amen.
Do a study on keeping, the keeping power of God. It's a great study. Because God keeps us. Like a chicken will gather its chicks under her wings. You know, the Bible talks about it being that way. Psalms 91, you know. It's a great chapter. That's why he said you'll never fall because I'm going to be taking care of you. See, I'm going to cover you with my wings. I'm going to give angels charge over you. I'm going to give you your very own personal angel that's over you. And you have it. Because the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him and delivers them. Ooh, isn't that good? See, but you got to do what? Wherefore give diligence. You got to give diligence. You got to stir it. I started to bring my stick that I walk with. That's my dog beating stick. Because we used to have dogs that would aggravate me when I'd go walking down my road. And I just wanted something to, so they wouldn't try to attack me. I didn't want to take my pistol and shoot them or nothing, you know. I mean, I like animals. I don't want to hurt them. I just want to nudge them on along and leave me alone. So I got a walking stick that I take with me. So I started to bring it. That way you could stir something. But I didn't want to make a mess. Because our lives are already in too much of a mess. Because we need to be stirring it. What happens to paint if you don't ever stir it? It separates. It separates. Just like we do. Not that God leaves us. Not that we're lost again. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but when you're not stirring it, there's a separation that happens. And it's just, you're separating. And you're separating. And you're separating. And then you're going to be just doing whatever you want to do. And you're no good to nobody. Not even your family. Not yourself. See, if you stay stirred up, that paint, you can put it on something that makes it look so pretty. Unless you don't know how to paint like me, and you make it look all messy. If Barry was here, I'd say Barry could, you know, he knows how to make it look good. See, that wall looks good. Why? Because it's got a fresh coat of paint. It's got paint on it. See, if we don't stir it up, we separate. Verse 11, and I'm going to be done. Verse 10 said, you'll never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not just a little. There's an entrance for us that would take us into an abundance of His love. And when we get to that point that we're walking in the abundance of God's love, see, it's going to take us. We have an entrance into this everlasting kingdom that's there right now. But that love and that faith and that power that we have brings that kingdom to us on this earth. And we can walk in the fullness of God. And we can experience the fullness of God on this earth. I know it's going to be something when we get to the other side. It is. And we can't even imagine it. But He says there's an entrance for us into the abundance of the everlasting kingdom. So there is an entrance for you into His everlasting kingdom. Now I'm talking about later and now. Yeah, we're going to walk on streets of gold, right? But we can walk in the abundance of God now. I'm talking, when I say abundance, it's not just money. I'm talking the abundance of power, the abundance of authority, the abundance of knowing who you are, the abundance of God watching over us, the abundance that we can have anything of that God wants us to have that's in His Word. You know, if you can believe for anything that's in line with this, you can't believe for anything outside of this, right? Now, I've heard somebody saying, well, you pray for me that I find a husband. But you're married. You've got a husband. So, no, I will not pray for you to find a husband because you got one. See, that's outside the will of God. I know that's a crazy example, but it happens. There are people like that. There are people that crazy. Pray for that. No. And when you say, you know, when they ask you to say, you know, for unspoken, well, now, we should kind of let me know what I'm praying for. So I can pray specifically. But I understand most people I know well enough that say that to go, okay, God, if it's within your will. See, I change the way I pray. Because I don't know what they want. If it's within His will, that's in His word, then I'll pray for it. So I can't go aside from His will. Because why? Because I got an entrance. And I don't want to mess that entrance up. Because my entrance is on the line. And your entrance is on the line because, what? We have been ministered unto an abundance of His everlasting kingdom. Then we get to verse 12. or verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent. I don't want to be negligent in this. I want to stir up the gift of God that's in me so that I can do exactly what 2 Peter says, so I can know who I am, so I can preach the fullness of this gospel, right? So I can know the Word of God, so I can know this cover to cover. See, Tracy Harris, that man is like an encyclopedia of the Bible. I want to get to where I know it like that. And God can give us that without question. And I can go, hey, that's in, not like I done with Tracy the first time he intimidated me. He did. Not on purpose. He's a wonderful man. We were talking about it. He had just prophesied over me that I would walk in all five of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. He said, you'll walk in all five. And that's kind of, that's at the beginning of it. And I was kind of, that kind of freaked me out a little bit. Like, all five? For real? And then he carried me off to the side, talked to me by myself. He said, now, you know where where it says that in the law in Leviticus or Deuteronomy 28, right? You know, we know that. You know, there's no more curse. Yeah, Deuteronomy 28. I said, yep, it's in Leviticus. And I knew it was in Deuteronomy. I did. I let him intimidate me with his knowledge. We can't do that. I got to pick on Brother Tracy next time he comes and remind him of that and see if he'll remember it. But we have an abundance. They have an abundance of the kingdom inside of you. Stir it up. Take back what the enemy is trying to steal. Take back everything that is yours and press into this kingdom. Press into it every day. Stir up what you have. Stir it up. It's in you. Don't let it separate. Don't let there be a separation like the paint does or oil and water. Keep it stirred every single day. So who's going to take it back with me? Let's take what the enemy stole.
Yes.
Let's take it back. It's ours.
Yes.
It is not his. It is mine.
Right.
Because God gave it to me.
Right.
So praise God. Yeah. Any gripes, moans, complaints, or anything we need to say before we leave? No, I'm just kidding. Ain't God good? I hope you got a blessing from the sermon tonight. I mean, God's got it. He wants you to stir your gift up. Ever how you got it, like Timothy got it by laying on the hands, or are you just asking, or God just pouring it out on you? Stir it up. God bless you. Amen. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Y'all heard about the military guy? See, I was in the Army for 8 years, and guy was in the military, and the preacher said, all right, dismiss us, Captain so-and-so. He jumped up and hollered, dismissed! You know, so. That's a true story. So, Father, we love you. We thank you that you are with us everywhere we go at all times. God, help us to stir this gift up, to take back what the enemy has took from us, to stop what he's trying to take, and to walk in the fullness of this gospel. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.